I'm Megan Zampieri, your book discussion leader for this month. Our first fall read, 2017, Food and Story, is The Food of a Younger Land. And I chose to lead the discussion for this book because, well, I travel a lot for my work. That's an understatement. This year alone, I've crossed Kansas so many times I've lost count. I have gone to Texas, St. Louis, and Chicago, and I have a trip to Utah planned. Wichita tomorrow, Topeka on Tuesday, Lawrence the following Tuesday, Sharon Springs at the beginning of August, Dodge City at the end of August, Wichita again in a couple of months. That's outside of whatever meetings I might need to attend inside of the 12-county region I serve in my work with libraries. I mostly travel alone. I'm not afraid to do so. I mostly know the roads I'm on. I know how to change a flat tire. I can be picky about where to stop. I have a lot of choices. I drive the interstate mostly, and I am lucky. First, to be born in such a time as this, and live in such a place as this, when my choices are endless, when I can choose to travel alone and go where I wish. I recently visited St. Louis, and in the Missouri History Museum, there were two seemingly unrelated, but actually very related exhibits. Number one in Civil Rights, the African American struggle in St. Louis, and Route 66. Main Street through St. Louis. See, I also recently learned of a book that was written specifically for the African-American audience by a mail carrier, Victor Hugo Green. Published in 1937 and 15 pages long, the first copy of the Green Book for Negro Motorists cautioned those African-Americans who were traveling in New York against towns they were not allowed to be in after dark, lest they be arrested if not killed. It listed towns that did offer accommodations to African Americans and offered names of businesses that might service their vehicles or allow them to use the restrooms. The last issue was published in 1966 and 67, and it had been expanded to 100 pages and covered most of the country and some international places. 100 pages of places that African Americans weren't just not allowed to go to eat or to sit. Their lives were at risk if they did go. In our book, Food of a Younger Land, Kurlansky does mention this history. In the introduction, very seriously, and then again in more depth when he introduces the South Eats. He writes, "This journey by time capsule to the early 1940s is not always a pleasant one. It affords us a glimpse at the pre-civil rights South." Kurlansky then describes the examples of overt racism not included in the book, as well as the subtler stereotypes, those of physical descriptions that are more like cartoon characters than people. He describes that while in the 1940s African-American foods were a flavor of the South, what we recognize as Southern cooking today is almost entirely African-American in origin. I think this deserves to be part of a larger conversation, a constant conversation. But what else are we missing? What perspective isn't here because the writers were almost exclusively white? Were there no writers in San Francisco's Chinatown? There's not a single Italian bakery mentioned, not even in New York where my father's bakery was. What other prejudices were felt so strongly that we missed entire swaths of people, veritable banquets of culture unexplored? For the HPPR Radio Readers Book Club, I'm Megan Zampieri from Norton, Kansas.